You're very welcome to Liberty this morning. God is good. Talk. Change over. Excuse me. I praise the Lord. You know, if we were in Croke Park and there was 82,000 people and everyone laughed, I'd hear Phil Swan out of every single one of them.
What's that all about?
I don't know. It's like, if I fall, I'm on my own up the park and I fall, I hear, ha! It's Phil somewhere locked in my head. He's a crazy man. Yeah, Father, we just point that. Amen. God is good, yeah? You're very welcome to Liberty Church. And well done, Eddie. I was half messing, but well done. Just the Lord just in this place. And it's just a wonderful thing to behold, the presence of God. I was reading this week and in Revelations, because we're on Revelations in our Bible community experience and our life group. And I was just so moved again by the book of Revelations. And, John the Apostle is like freaking out. And he's like, when you bring out the scrolls, who's read the book of Revelations? Who's afraid to read it? Everyone else, but who's afraid to read it? Come on, be honest. I break that off you in Jesus' name. Put up your hand. I'm not joking. The devil has people in fear over this. I'll be confused. I won't understand it. Hello? The same Spirit of God that wrote the book of John and inspired Exodus and Psalms and 1 Peter and 2 Peter, it's the same Holy Spirit that inspired John to write it. Everyone put up their hands. I'm not having this. Come on. Even if it's your first time, just trust me, you're going to be blessed. Don't think it's weird. Don't think it's weird. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the freedom that's in your word. I thank you for the liberation. I break off every thought of fear, confusion around your word, particularly around the book of Revelations. I thank you, Lord, that you started off with saying, blessed is the person who reads this book. It says you're blessed when you read it. Not you're confused. Not you're going to be in fear. You're blessed. Read it. You don't have to try to understand everything. Read it. Father, we love you. We love you. I know this, that everything that's in that book that's good is mine. And it's yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anyway, I was reading it, and John is freaking out because there's these scrolls that had to get opened. And he was looking around, and it was like as if no one was worthy to open the scrolls. And John starts to cry. And next minute, the angel says, no, there is one who is worthy. And he looks up and there's Jesus, the Lamb who was slain on the throne. And he's like, he is worthy. And with that, all the angels join in and they all start singing, worthy, worthy, worthy. Angels, thousands upon thousands, 10,000s multiplied by tens of thousands, all singing, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. And then they go, we ascribe to you greatness and honor and wisdom and power and strength forever and ever. Then the elders that were sitting down, they jump on the ground and take off their crown and cast it before Jesus. And they join in with all the angels singing, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. We ascribe to you greatness and honor and power and strength and wisdom forever and ever and ever. Incredible. But listen, what you ascribe to Jesus is what you will get. If we go, Jesus doesn't heal anymore, you won't be getting healed. But when you ascribe to him, ascribing something to someone is known. Like I ascribe to Rob that he's a great guitar player. Not because of, if I've never seen Rob playing guitar and I go, yeah, I ascribe to Rob, great, he's a great guitar player. How would you know? I don't know. I just guessed. Ascribing is knowing the quality of somebody, that it's truth and real and it's in their life. And when we ascribe it, we receive back from what we've ascribed to that person. So if we say, we ascribe to Rob, he's a great guitar player. What do we receive every week? His great guitar playing. Why? Because if we were saying you are rubbish, 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 in fact, you can never play guitar, Rob would go, why would I even want to give my gift to you? Whatever you need, ascribe it to Jesus. Go home. My kids are waiting Jesus. Ascribe to Jesus that he can bring anyone back. Ascribe, oh, Lord, I'm sick in body. Don't just settle for it. Ascribe to him. No, Lord, you are the healer. You are the one who heals. I remember saying this. It drives the devil mad. It drives him mad. I said, because I can't go there about healing. But I pray for more people that died and got healed. Don't call me to go to the hospital to see you. Only joking. But you know, that can break your faith down in so many ways. You couldn't believe what I've had to battle through with that. But I says, you know what, Lord? Even if I never see another healing, I love you. I adore you. I will walk with you. So the enemy hasn't got that anymore. God doesn't heal. I don't care. I love him anyway. And he goes away because he hasn't got that deception or that lie. God doesn't heal hearts anymore. I don't care. I love him. Even if I have a broken heart, I love him. I'll walk with him, serve him the best as I can. And all that gets away from him. But then you go home, you go, Lord, I ascribe to you healing and power and authority and wisdom. And you find yourself being a recipient of who he is in life. Amen. Amen. Listen, we're going to start a new series. And it's called Brave. And before I start, I want to pray a prayer over us. Could we all stand? Now, this is a dangerous prayer, I have to tell you. So honestly, if you don't want a dangerous life, no peer pressure, but sit down. Because we're called to live dangerous. We're called to live dangerous. And this prayer, you can sit down if you're not there, I don't mind. But I'm going to ask the Lord to mess your life up. I'm going to ask him to mess your life up. God's mess is the best order you could ever have. The mess of God is the most ordered your life will ever, ever be. So here I am. The disciples of Jesus had to be brave to walk away from jobs, communities, cities, respectability, education, because the Lord messed with them. So here's my prayer. Close your eyes. Open your heart. I don't know how you open your heart, but... And here's my prayer. Lord, turn us upside down. Tickle us. Offend our minds to reveal our hearts. Take off the yokes that has been placed on us. Place in us a message. Place in us a call. Place in us a knocking the devil down confidence. Place in us afresh a call to battle. A call to radical, holy, dangerous lifestyles. Call us into the ministry today. Let us know that living without peace is no longer an option. Let us know that living in fear is no longer acceptable. Let us know, Lord, that living with small dreams is not your perfect will, plan, or purpose. Placing us a hunger for more. Placing us a hunger for the supernatural. Placing us a desire to win this world with your love. Fill us up right now with your love, your passion, your desire, your power, your message, your mercy, your joy, your fun. Set our sails, launch us out, cause us to blast off. Remove every yoke of doubt, fear, restriction. Break off limitation. No more imitation, only transformation that comes from inhabitation. No more manipulation. Send us rains because I'm dehydration, living in dehydration. Deliver us from procrastination. Release us into our destiny of acceleration, multiplication, and reaching every single nation. Lord, I release in your people power. I release you to blossom like a flower. I release your eyes to set your sights on him who is your high tower in Jesus' name. And we say amen, O God. We say amen, O God. Amen, O God. Liberty, freedom, liberty, freedom in the hearts of your people, O God. Amen. If you said amen, you just entered into a dangerous new series. Amen. Did you think that could have gone into a rap? I made that all up myself. And the other day I was in the bedroom on my own and I was rapping it. I was. You heard me? I had a bandana on, a pair of glasses, rapping for Jesus. I'm the oldest rapper in town. The dictionary says that bravery is a state of quality of mind or spirit that enables one to face danger with self-confidence and resolution. It goes on to say that bravery suggests a reserve of moral strength on which one may draw out in time of emergencies. The word, those who make the words make sense to us, is saying that that bravery is an inner strength that seems to emerge in the face of danger or seemingly impossible circumstances. As a Christian, in the natural, as a person, there's bravery in people. But as a Christian, it's not about self-confidence and self-reliance, because that inevitably will fail. But bravery in the Bible is a result of surrender and sovereignty. It's surrender to the purposes and the will of God. It's surrender to the sovereignty of God, meaning the rule of God that's above everything else. And it's submitting ourselves to the plan and the purpose of God. You and I will not do very much for God unless there's an element of bravery in our life. To become a Christian takes bravery. To walk with Jesus takes bravery. To step out in the things of God takes bravery. I don't think we will mount up to a hill of beans unless we have bravery. And bravery is one of those attributes that the kingdom of God and this world admire. There's many acts. Bravery has many faces. Bravery has many sides to it. Bravery can be, we were just over in New York and we went to Ground Zero and we went into the museum or the memorial to the people that died, and also to the brave men and women that gave their lives in acts of bravery trying to save people. And the world admires bravery, but bravery in the big aspects, but also bravery is in what seems to be the smaller aspects. The bravery of a young girl standing up for her beliefs in school. The bravery of eight young people in a school in America, that when a young man came in to kill them and he asked them, were they Christians? And they said, yeah, even if we to die for our faith, we won't disown who our Savior is. To the single mother that's raising her children on her own. Bravery has many faces. Bravery spills out on the streets every single day of the week. And it's something that the world admires, and it's something that heaven admires. Listen to some quotes about bravery. Bravery is a response to a commitment to truth and standing up for what is right. Sometimes bravery is hidden in the heart. And it comes to pass, and it comes to the fore when difficult choices have to be made between right and wrong. Other time, bravery is expressed by strong outward acts. But whether it's a silent, I will not go there, or I will not do this, or an outrageous act of courage, both require bravery. Mark Twain says, bravery is not the lack of fear. It's doing the right thing in spite of fear. Some of the greatest acts that have been performed are by people who experience great fear. Bravery doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the little voice at the end of the day that says, I'll try again tomorrow. There's one word in Isaiah where the word bravery is used, Isaiah 3. And I looked up the translation of it. And the translation of that word for bravery means beautiful. Acts of bravery are actually beautiful things. Acts of bravery bring out beauty in people. Listen to this story of beautiful bravery. It was a few weeks before Christmas 1917. A beautiful snowy landscape of Europe was blackened by war. The trenches on one side held the Germans, and on the other side, the trenches were filled with Americans. The exchange of gunshots was intense. Separating them was a very narrow strip of no man's land. A young German soldier attempting to cross that no man's land had been shot and become entangled in the barbed wire. He cried out in anguish, and in pain he continued to whimper. Between the shells, all the Americans in that sector could hear him scream. When one American soldier stood up, he could stand it no longer. He crawled to that German soldier. When the Americans realized what he was doing, they stopped firing, but the Germans continued. Then a German officer realized what the young American soldier was doing, and he ordered all the men to cease firing. But there was a weird silence across the no man's land. On his stomach, the American soldier made his way to that German soldier and disentangled him. He stood up with the German in his hands, walked straight to the German trenches and placed him in the waiting arms of his comrades. Having done so, he turned and started to walk back to the American trenches. Suddenly, there was a hand on his shoulder that spun him around. There stood a German soldier who had won the Iron Cross, the highest German honor for bravery. He jerked off the cross from his own uniform and placed it on the American's uniform, who walked back to the American trenches. It was such a beautiful act of bravery that the German soldier, his enemy, placed his Iron Cross on him. There's people here that show acts of bravery every week. You know those people that's amongst us that get up and say, "Lord, keep me sober today." I would love to have a medal for everyone here. You know those amongst us who get up and go to work to feed their kids and give their kids a better life? Here. You know the mothers who drive their kids to school and drive them to other places? Here. You know the moms and dads or the woman and the other man that their marriage is going through turmoil and they stick in there? Bravery is beautiful. And I believe that we're called, like no other people in this world, to be the bravest. Because we don't have to just do it in our strength. Who was in the Old Testament? Was it? I always get mixed up with them ladies. Naomi. She says, "You're the strength of my strength." Meaning when my strength is gone. When I take the step of bravery in my strength and your strength kicks in. I step out with one act of humanness and God comes in behind it. So that when mine runs out, I won't boast because I know who's come in behind to do this. And we're going to go through a series of looking at people in the Bible. If I said acts of bravery in the Bible, shout out, come on, who? Ah, see, I knew you were going to do that. That's why I said it. Well, we won't be doing David and Goliath for one. Joshua, Gideon. Jesus. We're going to start with Jesus today. There's loads of them, isn't there? And we're looking for people that yet we all know, but not the obvious ones. But we're going to be teaching through and looking at examples of lives of the obscure ones. The ones that maybe never get rolled out in the big sermons. And we see what God has to say to us. But I tell you this, that prayer I prayed at the start, God is going to call you into some of that. God is going to call you into some of that. Amen. So let's start with our role model. Our role model is Jesus. Our role model for everything. He's perfect in every way. So we look at Jesus first. And in the life of Jesus, turn to that first scripture, guys, if it's not already there. Well done on the slide, by the way, Greg. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they could not find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why would you be searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Jerusalem with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Here's a little boy sitting with the teachers and the elders. What bravery for a kid to walk into a room and to listen and to speak. Amazingly, it goes on to say, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Jesus' act of bravery as a kid was like he took time and he made a courageous step of actually sitting down and listening. You know, bravery is not just about all of the great escapades. But in Jesus' life, it took a step of bravery to sit with these men. To do what? To listen. Some of the greatest acts of bravery that we can be involved in is that we actually sit down and listen. Listen to godly advice. Listening to people's experience. Listening to self. There's so many people that are running from themselves. And an act of bravery today might be sitting down and going, "Where am I at? Where am I going? Who am I? What has God got for me? What is God saying to me?" An act of bravery might be just sitting down with another person and saying, "Will you just speak into my life? I'm sick of just running around and acting all types of ways. But it's not producing anything in my life." An act of bravery might be asking the right questions without being afraid of getting the right answers. An act of bravery for you and me might be allowing other people to question us. Question their motives. Now you can understand why it needs to be an act of bravery. An act of bravery might be sitting with an older person, a wiser person, so that you can gain from their experience. And there's a reward for bravery. Everywhere you look, there's a reward. And Jesus' reward was he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. You want to grow in favor and wisdom and stature with God and man? Sit down and listen to somebody. Don't be the rebel all of your life. I'm going to be brave. Sit down when God is doing something and listen to him. Because here's what happens when we don't. We run away. There's no bravery in that. There's no bravery in running away from yourself and other people and God. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives at dawn and appeared. And he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, it commands us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. Before I move on, can I just say about that last Jesus story? That Jesus went to sit and God enabled him to stand. You have to know how to sit before you stand. And there may be brave acts that make us go, "I'm going to sit with myself. I'm going to sit with someone else. When you sit, he causes it to stand. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus was only one left with this woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." It's amazing. An act of bravery caused Jesus to stoop, but enabled someone else to rise. An act of bravery in Jesus' life. He stoops to the ground, but a woman arises, not dead, not living in condemnation, told to go and, "Honey, that life will kill you, leave it." We know she left it. For some of us, we have to understand that bowing down in the Bible is not a bad thing. Humbling yourself is not a bad thing. Repentance in the Bible is not a bad thing. Putting yourself down, not putting yourself down like I'm a big dope type of thing, but making yourself here is not a bad thing in the Bible. Thinking higher than yourself is. Didn't know what he was doing. Not agreeing with the mob. Not afraid to disagree with the crowd. To actually bow down before God. To humble yourself before God. Is an act of bravery. Would you agree? Yeah. When everyone's going that way and you say, "No, God's called me to go that way. And I've sat and I've listened to others and I've grown in wisdom and favor. I've sit so I could rise. I've humbled myself so I could be exalted. I'm going this way, crowd, I see it." And it takes acts of bravery to actually say, "Yeah, I believe God is in this because I've sitting. And I'm going to rise. And I'm going to move." Jesus seen injustice in the woman's life, and an act of bravery was shown for all. God is going to call us through this series to different places where there's injustice and acts of injustice, and you will have the answer, and you will have the know-how, and you will have the passion, and you will have the tenacity, and you will have something in God because he wants you to be one of his brave soldiers. Stoop low to stand up. That's the way of the Bible. Exalt yourself and he'll humble you. Humble yourself and he'll exalt you. The way up is the way down in the kingdom. The world says, "Rise to the top of the ladder and crush everyone on the way up." Never crush someone, because you might need him when you're falling back down, my friend. You might need him when you fall from the top and skin your knees. Always be kind to people. Bravery for our example is, which is Jesus, is laying down your life so many can find theirs. They took Jesus, trumped up the charges against him, nailed him to a cross. I was reading Psalm 22, and I don't know whether, you know, you see the physical aspect of Jesus' life depicted in movies, like it was of the Passion of Christ or some of the physical aspect of what Jesus went through to die on the cross. But no one can capture it. Only if you look at the Bible and ask for understanding, revelation. But no one can depict what it felt for Jesus to take the sins of the world upon himself. No one can depict what it was like for God to be separated from God. No one can depict. Someone said, "Well, you know, I knew separation." Jesus never knew separation from his Father. Never. Was it like burning your finger? No, because you know what it is like to burn your finger or hurt yourself. He never knew what it was like. He never knew what it was like to sin. He never knew what it was like to have condemnation on him. He never knew what it was to have the effects of sin or the weight of sin upon himself. And Psalm 22, it talks about the bulls of Bashan and the dogs going around him. And I believe it was all spiritual things going on, not what we've seen in the physical. But he, his act of bravery, he laid down his life so others could live, you and I. An act of bravery is being bound so others can go free. An act of bravery in Jesus' life is being separated from his Father so that hundreds and thousands and millions could come near to his Father. Bravery in Jesus' life was taking the sins upon himself and calling out, Father, forgive them. Bravery for Jesus was taking thorns on his head so we could have peace of mind. Bravery is always rewarded. Jesus says, you're my reward. You're the reward of Jesus. I'm the reward of Jesus. The countless millions that have come into the kingdom since 2,000 years ago, they're Jesus' reward. Defeating sin, death, and hell, that's Jesus' reward. The sons of Adam and Eve coming home to a father is the reward of Jesus. Bravery is dying to self so others can actually find life. Bravery for in Jesus' life was those who love him waiting on the promise that he told them. Jesus says in 1:8 Acts, go and wait in Jerusalem. And when the Spirit of God comes upon you, when you see what you will do, he says, greater things than I have done, you will do. John says, if all the books in the world were to write the miracles that Jesus done in 3 years, all the books in the world wouldn't be able to contain them. And then he goes on and he says that you will do greater than this. But it takes bravery to step out to see and exact, bring to pass the things that Jesus says that we can do. Wasn't it amazing when the treasure exchange team was up here telling us about the exploits out on the streets, going out and praying with people, getting words from Jesus, praying for healing. It takes bravery. I'm like, I have my medals, guys. But if you step out in bravery, God meets you. He's not going to abandon those guys out on the street. He's not going to send them out to be made a show off. It's like, I'm with you. And Jesus says, go away in Jerusalem, and what I do, you will do. But the only way you're going to do it is not just through your own self-reliance or ingenuity. My Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, is going to come upon you. See, the devil thought he could get rid of Jesus. The devil was like, get rid of him. That's the game over, baby. Jesus Christ, Jesus, the man. Some people think Christ is Jesus' surname. Like Jesus O'Brien or something. But Christ was a function. Christ was a title. That the Christ, the anointed one, would come and would defeat the enemy. And when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him, he became Jesus the Christ. He became the Christ that everyone was looking for. And Christ means anointed one. An anointed one means someone who is smeared with an oil. And so it means, Jesus Christ means him who was smeared, who was baked in the oil of heaven that brings heaven to earth. And then we're called Christians. Little smeared ones. That's how we do the things he done, because we're carrying what he carried. He who lived in him is living in us. And Jesus says, go and wait for him, and when he comes, you're going to be all smeared. And the devil is like, get rid of Jesus and this will all end. Well, the devil didn't know that we multiply. We breed. They breed, those Christians. You leave them in a room with four non-believers and they start breeding. This room is not, that's why this is not our home. Because this is not big enough for the breeding ground of Liberty Church. This city is not even bigger for what God wants to do and the amount of people he wants to breed. Someone says to me in America, and many is in your church, I says, we're beginning with 1.6 million that lives in the city. They all come to my church. You just don't know. And when you see when we take up the offering. We'll be sending dumpsters to Croke Park to take up the offering. Our ushers be going around on them things, you know, like they do in the shopping centres. They stand on them. Here you go, Jeff. Pallet trucks. So Jesus says, go and wait. Go and wait. And he went and waited. Bravery is waiting on the promise of God to come to pass. It takes great acts of bravery to wait. And your bravery and the promise is a result of the character of who told the promise. Everything is based on him who said it. No, I can trust Jesus. Let every man be a liar, but God is always truthful. And they said, we're going to wait. And they waited. And the oil came. The Holy Spirit came. And they went out. Do you remember? Peter stands up, preaches the gospel. Him who was fearful, who had no bravery, now was smeared. And his acts of bravery were outrageous. He stood, he sat down, and God rose him up. And now he was standing up. And when you stand up, you stand out. When you stand up, you stand out. When you stand up for God, you stand out. You might get a bit of slagging and all that, but you will stand out. Your light will shine. Your light will shine. And then they went to the gate, beautiful. Remember Acts of Bravery? There was a gate there with a man. And at the gate, beautiful, there was an act of bravery shown. They stooped down low so that that man could rise. And Jesus says, you will do greater things than this. So we're going to pray. You can, if you need to go, you can go, but you're mad if you do. Let's stand. It's 25 past. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. You know, if we're doing this Christianity thing right, we should be emptied. Because in Acts, they got filled, and then they got filled again, and they got filled again. So if you feel empty, you're probably doing something very right. You're pouring yourself out. But if they needed filling, we need filling. If they needed filling again and again, we need filling again. And I felt the Lord say this to me. This is the promise for this series. The Lord says, now I'll get the people before me, and I'll present myself to them. And then I will send them out, and they'll present me to them out there. It's going to take act of bravery out there. It's not act of bravery to walk from there up to there. It's a small act of bravery. We love you. We want the best for you. It does take an act of bravery. But you're going to be encouraged and brought into places out there where you can be the bravest person. And you remember I said earlier on, bravery is not just doing the big acts. Jesus said, here's a way to do bravery. Give someone a cup of cold water in my name. So I'm trying to say, you don't have to be someone that's on TV to do this stuff. You don't have to be Superman or Superwoman. Break that off in Jesus' name. Not a rubbish lie. But it will take bravery even to give a cup of cold water. But we could all do that, couldn't we? And then it takes bravery to see someone sick and engage with them and say, can I pray for you? And if you start off with a glass of water, believe me, before you know it, you'll be up in Massey's, the funeral home. Because the oil doesn't lessen, the oil increases. The greater works you will do. Greater works. Not just great works, but it builds greater works. You're being changed from one degree of glory into the other, into the image of Jesus, into the fullness of who Jesus is. Not just meek and mild Jesus. Not just gentleness, not just the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, but also the gifts of the Spirit. And not just the gifts, but also the fruit. Yeah. And all the full shebang. Into the image of Jesus, the same relationship he has with his dad, the full image of him. Not just parts of it. So here we are, Father. Lord, I just say amen to you, Lord. Amen to your ways, Lord. Amen to your acts of bravery that you've shown us, Lord. Lord, you've shown us, Lord. Lord, I deliberately, Lord, went for those acts, Lord God. Because, Lord, they're the ones, Lord, that we can all do, Lord. And over these weeks, we'll be moving into all types of things of bravery. But, Lord, some people need to sit down and make a commitment before God. I'm going to sit so I can stand. I'm not going to try stand and I've never learned to sit. I've never asked for wisdom. I never asked for understanding. That's why you haven't grown. That's why you haven't grown. You might have a load of branches sticking out of you, but there's no fruit on it. Because you haven't sitting. You haven't saying, what am I supposed to do with this? Believe me, if you want to get the best out of anyone, ask them a question. And then godly men and women, it flows out of them then. And then you will see yourself growing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. And some of us need to humble ourselves. We need to go down low to go up higher. And that can be in all types of way. You need to ask for forgiveness of someone. That's an act of bravery. You need to forgive someone. That's an act of bravery. So, you know, I'm not just trying to pigeonhole it. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to pigeonhole it and this is the way you do it. 1, 2, 3, ba, ba, ba. There's so many. It's multifaceted. But what is always honored before God is that people come before him. His promises are yes and amen. And he'll give us more than we imagine, I think. So, Lord, here we are, your people. Your people. I don't know how to do this because there's so many of us. But maybe just put your hand on the shoulder of the person beside you. Anything that you're going to say and pray is always to be building that person up, strengthening that person, or bringing comfort. So if you say anything other than that, you'll probably get a slap off me. We're out submitting that now. But Lord, here we are. Your people, Lord, Christians, anointed ones, the Spirit of Sovereign Lord is upon us. Because you were upon him, so that we can open the blind, open the gates, open the prison doors, that we can be rocks and we can be solid oak trees, oh God. That, Lord, we can be great in this land, Lord. We can be the brave ones, oh God. Lord, I just thank you for each one. I pray right now, Father, for your Holy Spirit to come and fill us again, oh God. Father, not just to the top, Lord, Father, and there's a gap, Lord, but being completely full means to overflow, Lord, that there's a spillage, Lord, that it's not just capped off, Lord, with my emotions or with my thinking, Lord, or in a physical way, Lord, but it overflows, Lord God. And I pray right now for fresh oil, oh God. Lord, over these ones. These are the ones, Lord God, that you're sending out into the nation, oh God, into the city, Lord God, into the workplace, the homes, Lord, to do incredible, outrageous acts of courage, oh God, of bravery, oh God. And I pray, Father God, that, Lord, as we encounter you, Lord, would you enable us to bring you so they can encounter you outside, oh God. Lord, you said, if you get my people before me, I will present myself. So here we are, Lord. Present yourself to each one, Lord. Fill us up with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Let each one know right now, Lord, that you're here and you're near. Let each one know right now, Lord, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Let each one, Lord, from the newest person to the oldest one amongst us, let us know you're near, Lord. Present yourself, Father. And Lord, would you release that so that we can be sent out to do outrageous acts of courage in our city and in our nation.